Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, hi there. I'm Penn Holderness.
And I'm Kim Holderness. Welcome to our podcast.
Yeah, so we talk about all kinds of issues that affect us.
We're guess very what's, selfish.
Well, guess what? This doesn't just affect us. This affects anyone who has a child that goes to a school that has a thing that we have to figure out.
Are you asking yourself, what the heck do I do about school? A lot of school districts are putting the decision in parents' hands, which is, you know, you can choose a virtual option, you can try to send to school, and then they're all coming up with like how they're going to keep our kids and our community and our teachers safe. It's a lot.
We've already had a couple of these moments. I thought this was going to be college. Like, college was going to be the time that we had a tough time deciding things for our kids. I remember when Lola was six or something, five maybe, and we were trying to figure out which elementary school she was going to go to.
We have school choice in our area.
Yeah, it was called controlled choice. I don't know what they have now because we're over it. We're done with it.
We've made our choice.
That's when the school board changes, that all changes. But we would we visited five schools.
I didn't visit that many colleges.
No, I didn't either. And then when we got the letter that she got into the school that she got into, you were sweating profusely.
That she got into Harvard. Details. So right now, I think a lot of parents, I know we're in constant conversation about deciding, do we just stay virtual or do we take the option of sending our kids with all the restrictions is that going to be healthy and safe for them as well? So when I'm confused, what I do is I reach out to my friends.
Right. And a lot of people are doing this. A lot of people are going to Hope or Dr. Seidel and asking her because they don't want to make the decision. They want someone else to tell them what to do. And I'm also one of those people.
So here's what I need to know about Dr. Hope Seidel. She's a full-time pediatrician at Cary Pediatrics in Cary, North Carolina. She's been practicing for 20 years, but her passion is parent coaching. So after years of guiding her parents in the office to follow their compass, she followed her own and opened Parenting Coaches with her partner, Dr. Tracy Levitt. Hope offers one-on-one coaching to parents virtually for parents all over the country. You can find her either at the practice as a pediatrician or at parentingcoaches.com and on Instagram, Parenting Coaches. So Dr. Seidel did this Facebook Live the other day saying, hey, parents, let's talk about school. And it got a crazy amount of views. So I called her. And I'm like, can you just tell me what to do? So here she is a friend. She's a lovely human being. And we really, really appreciate her guidance in all of this. And welcome to our friend, Dr. Hope Seidel. She is fielding a lot of questions from her patients, parents, and her friend community and her parenting coaching community. Specifically around school, I imagine. Talk to us about what you are recommending for school right now.
So I think the biggest challenge that parents are having right now is coming up with a right decision about what to do about school. I mean, we're sort of in this holding pattern right now in many of the school districts, frankly, around the country, but especially locally, about what exactly is going to happen. But parents are calling me, asking me what they should do about school in general. And I think the biggest obstacle is that they're really looking to find out from me what the right choice is, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I'm telling my parents in general, actually what I'm asking my parents is what do they think the right thing is to do, right? Because in this kind of situation, there really isn't a right answer. Mm-hmm. There just really isn't a right answer. I mean, this is the thing. The right answer is the one that you make right by how you think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to have a lot of choices, Kim. And then when they get the choice, they're paralyzed sometimes by indecision. And so, you know, that's what our community does. So then we reach out, we look on the internet, we get in our mom's groups, we talk to our parents, we call our pediatrician, trying to kind of outsource our discomfort so that we can get all the information we need so we don't have to sit in all of the discomfort by ourselves. But the truth is that many parents know exactly what to do. They just don't trust themselves to make the call, right? They just don't trust themselves. And they're, you know, if being right, to me, being right about the right decision about school is not the goal, right? To me, the goal is to make a choice, to sit with it, to see where it leads you, to decide if you like it. If you don't like it, then just change your mind. And then just learn what the decision was meant to teach you and repeat. Like, what a gift to show our kids that, right?
Yeah, that's and I tell my kids, because I mean, there's 100% going to need therapy, as we all do, by the way. I love some therapy. Hey. But I'm like, I always say, tell your therapist that your mother did the very best she could with the information she had. Okay, just tell your therapist that your mother was making the best decision possible about everything, not even in a pandemic, just about everything in general. I was doing the best I could.
That's right. But you know, it's okay. Like, the best decision possible is the best you can do always, right? Mm-hmm. If you say to your kids, honey, if you change your mind, it's okay, by showing them that it's okay for you to make a decision that is something you think through later on, right? You don't have to make it mean that you weren't right if you change your mind. Mm-hmm. You could just mean that you were learning. I mean, look at this, right? Let's just think about it like this. I'm a scientist, right? So if all the vaccine people decided, they're trying to make this COVID vaccine, right? If they made this vaccine and they decided, we're just going to think about it a lot. We're just going to think about it and ask a lot of people about what we should do and talk about it. And they didn't just get right in there and start to work at it. Like, scientists get a hypothesis. And then what they do is that they try it. And when it doesn't work, they just adjust. Mm-hmm. And then they learn what they were meant to learn from it. And then they do something else. And that's how we come up with a vaccine and many other scientific magnificent decisions.
Yes.
And so this is just a beautiful time for your kids to be able to see. We don't always know exactly how our decisions are going to pan out, but they're going to be right either way, because we're just going to decide. And so that's what I'm telling my parents, is not to go get so consumed with the outcome and be just sitting in the process a little bit. It's okay.
That's great advice, and it empowers you to make your decision and stick with it and be proud of it. Like you said, it's a good way to teach your kids about decision making and how no decision is perfect. I remember you saying that in your Facebook post, and I've definitely related to that. So I'm now taking on the mentality of just kind of a simple-minded, stubborn dad who goes into the place and asks you, hey, and the reason the simple-minded, stubborn dad just wants to know more. Like, you're a pediatrician, you know more than me. So you tell me to make your own decision and stick with it. I say, thank you, but what do we do? What are you doing? What can you tell me that I don't know already? And I know that's hard to do with you right now, because I feel like you're learning something new every day.
Well, the issue really is very personal for all of our parents, right? So what I classically do when I'm encouraging parents to come up with their own decision for this particular topic is we talk about what all the factors are that are going into their choice, right? So you may have an older parent that's at home. You may feel like you need to, that you don't have the support that you need for your child who is, you know, for your child who has special needs. You may be worried that you have a family that's food insecure that needs to make sure that their child gets breakfast and lunch. And so weighing those decisions is sort of how we come up with a plan in general, right? I had a family recently that asked me about a certain age child who was quite young, and we weighed the pros and cons of whether or not them getting sick was something that they were going to be able to be comfortable with because the child was two and touching everything. And then some kids have underlying conditions that do make it more dangerous. Parents have cancer that make it more uncomfortable when they're going to be coming home from school. It just really does depend on the circumstances for each scenario. But the truth is, in this particular situation, we can't use the same rules pen to make a decision. It's almost like we're trying to weigh which situation is worse, right? Or which situation is better. And then we're just doing the very best we can. So mm-hmm. what I'm encouraging my parents to do is to talk through the different options that are there. And then we just kind of make the very best decision we can based on what their circumstances are. And so that's why I say it's just not a right, because I don't think any of the decisions are perfect.
In our school district, and I know school districts across the country, they're coming up with these recommendations. God bless the administrators who are trying to navigate this. I'm not at all coming down hard on administrators or teachers, but there is a requirement that all students who do choose to attend would be in masks all day. Our kids mm-hmm. actually have shown some great endurance in masks. You know, we've had some practice, and we even have them like hanging out in their masks just to kind of get used to it. What's been your experience seeing your children in your practice wearing masks? Like, what sort of habits should we be aware of with the masks? You know, just in terms of like framing this for our kids.
First of all, kids are quite a resilient bunch. If you mm-hmm. really want to learn about resilience, you know, pay attention to your children. I mean, I am astonished and so impressed with how many of the kids in my practice are just doing, the young kids are doing with masks in general. And this is the thing, like, we model responsibility as parents. So when we show up with an energy around masks wearing that is about our community, that is about being part of accountability and compassion and taking care of others, kids get that. They are natural empaths. They want to be part of something that is kind. That's how kids start out. And so I have found, in addition to the kids tolerating the masks really well, the ones who have the hardest time are the parents who have the hardest time. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed seeing how fun the masks have been for the kids to show their personalities. And when we make a big deal about them in the office and make jokes about them, we use humor about how silly it is to only see each other's eyes. Kids enjoy the banter and the game of it. You know, I think that kids can adapt to just about anything when we come with the right energy. And so I think kids are doing quite well. Now, is it perfect? No. There's certainly ways in which kids touch their faces or move their masks from time to time just impulsively that I think are going to, you know, make things more challenging for a mask wearing all the time. Does that answer your question? I mean, that's kind of how I feel about the mask wearing.
No, I think there's been, just on my personal Facebook feed, it's dominated by this question of what should we do about school? A lot of my mom friends have already chosen the virtual option. And some mm-hmm. are like you were saying, I mean, they work full time, they're expected to be in office. So they don't really have a choice. And their kids want that social outlet at school and being in classroom. So there's no wrong answer, but there is a big question on like, my kid's not going to sit in a mask all day. I'm like, I think your kid's going to be fine. That's just me. There might be some, I also have a friend who has a special needs child who has extreme sensitivity specifically around his ears. So he can't, that's not going to work. Wearing a mask all day is just not going to work. So everybody, yeah.
But this is what I love, Kim. It's like, see how the parents in that scenario that you just described have pre-decided it's not going to work, right? Mm-hmm. So that is the energy that they bring into mask wearing, into their home. That's kind of when we decide my child cannot do that. They will not do that. They're not capable of that. That energy informs, that thought really informs every way that the parents act. They hear their, you know, the kids hear them saying that to you or to one another when they're in a couple. And so all of those do affect, of course, the way that their kids tolerate masks. And so that kind of positive you know, this is what we're doing for our community. I mean, I have young kids in my office often who will say, I'm wearing my mask to keep you safe. Oh. And I will say, thank you so much. I'm wearing my mask to keep you safe. Aren't we both so awesome? Mm-hmm. And they love to be filled up with that kind of energy. It's just that easy. Instead of my child can't, you're already pre-deciding that that's not going to be possible. You've already terminated that possibility for your child.
I know a lot of parents are also concerned, and I say a lot of parents, but it's me, about just the academic. I mean, we're all this talk about like falling behind. I'm not as concerned really, because I feel like we should just like survive the pandemic. And if we can exit healthy, then we've won. But yeah, I mean, I have a daughter going into eighth grade, and then soon it'll be high school. And there's like, she's going to be expected to like academically, you know, be able to hit the ground running in high school. But what happens if we are doing virtual learning in eighth grade, and then I suck as a homeschool teacher. So just this, like academically, what happens if our kids are start to fall behind?
So it depends on what you mean by falling behind, right? So when you say that, you presume that there's like some academic standard that will eventually define their success as a human being, mm-hmm. based on what they get and whatever grade they're in. This is like normal, by the way, like mm-hmm. everybody's having this feeling like we're going to be behind what? And that's my question, like behind what? Like if this year, the goal that you had was not about them reading Oedipus, but it was about learning how to a thousand things, honey, like cooking or mm-hmm. communicating differently, or just finding an interest that brings them joy, that is something that they're really passionate about. You know, not every parent has that luxury, but there's just so many opportunities that we have to think outside the box instead of thinking really on what we're not getting, right? Mm-hmm. It is going to be a different academic experience for sure. But when we qualify that as they're going to be behind, it sets a standard that says that where we were going was just so wonderful, which is not necessarily true. It's just the thought you have about it.
Yeah, you're so right, because academically, I mean, we're only judging on things that we're judging on, like these four things that somebody has decided are very, very important. We're going to assign a letter grade to it, where my children may excel. Like Lola's a brilliant artist, and they don't even give grades for that in their school.
That's right. So, and you know what? And the people who you want to be around are people who have empathy mm-hmm. and who are compassionate and are patient and who are resilient and who know they can do hard things and who are willing to be uncomfortable. I mean, these are the kinds of strengths that we really don't teach our kids. I mean, what if just stopping was allowed our kids to have some space to just breathe? What if that was exactly what this generation needed? It's just, that's what I was talking about on my Facebook post. It's just, we've decided that we're missing out on so many things without pausing to notice what the potential is for all of the things we don't even know we're gonna get from this potential gift. It just doesn't feel like a gift because it feels like so much loss.
Mm-hmm. It's hard also because I definitely felt that way in March and April. You know, when like the weather was great and the kids were home, and it's not March or April anymore. We're in July, and but I like, thank you. We need Dr. Seidel to keep pumping us up about that. Hey, this is something I would ask you at like if we were at dinner together, which I don't know when that's going to happen.
One day
we'll get back together. And I had this saved. I had this saved in my pocket. I don't even know if you have like an answer to this, but it's like a story. Okay. So I'm sitting on the beach, talking at a safe distance to someone. And this person tells me, well, did you know that that you can't even transmit COVID from kid to kid? And I said, no, I didn't know that. And she goes, well, statistically, it is much, much less likely, and it's just not happening. And I have done no research to back that up. I have no idea if it's true. Did you hear when that was said?
No, because we went to this very desolate beach. We went because nobody goes there. And we went, and then there would be people walking up, and we were like running away from them. So I didn't hear it because I wasn't staying that close. But also, it's not true.
Well, I don't know. I'm just telling you the story. Is that, I can ask the pediatrician.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Like, was that person making any sense?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There is some preliminary truth to that. And, you know, I think given the timeliness of this conversation and when it may or may not be listened to.
Yeah, we are recording this on July the 19th. I'll say that. July 19th. We know we do this. It's so funny. We've been doing this for every podcast. Like, just we don't know what we might be on Mars next week.
Yeah,
so
that's right. We really don't know what Mars
is. It's July. So Dr. Seidel's answer as of July 19th. Is.
I mean, the kids in general actually are doing fairly well currently from the illness. You know, the thing to remember, and kid-to-kid transmission does seem to be less, okay. But the only thing to remember about children is they're disgusting. And so...
So true.
Studies have shown
the kids are gross.
The kids pick their noses and then put them in people's faces.
They are just disgusting. And so, bless their little hearts. So, you know, the problem is that they are fomites for disease. You know, the thing about it is that this is why the flu shot is so important in children, among others. They also get sicker from the flu, but you know, children transmit disease at such a higher rate than adults. And they are the vector for so much illness. So this is when we talk about the flu vaccine, this is a common conversation I have as well. Like,
right.
I know your child's likely to survive the flu, but they are the reason that there's a high incidence of illness in the community, given how dirty they can be and how not careful they can sometimes just accidentally be by the nature of where they are developmentally. So they transmit disease. And of course, it's adults that can, this is where our teachers are really suffering right now, because putting them in scenarios and school that make them more vulnerable when the kids are probably kid to kid not going to have as much of an issue based on what we currently know is really one of the bigger, you know, quandaries that a lot of our...
This is good. So the equation I'm looking at, because I look at everything like an equation, kind of a math nerd, is that the data that at this point suggests that maybe it doesn't transmit as much among kids is counterbalanced by the data that kids are bleeping gross.
Yes, the grossness factor is a high problem.
Yes, and I got it.
Well, so I think what she's trying to say is, yes, kid to kid, like our kids themselves might be fate, but say our kid brings it home.
Could transmit to us, 100%.
Or to a teacher or to an administrator.
Yep, like
that's
you.
The question mark.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, there's such a very high likelihood that someone in a community is asymptomatic and completely unaware that they're transmitting illness is also a variable that is still unfolding.
And I think that's important to know. And what you even said about science before was like, you go down a path, it fails, you go down the next right path. And I think that like better science debunks good, you know, good science is debunked by better science and just like continuing. And we're just learning so much every single day.
Right, right. Like there's this collective concern among people who are doubtful about this whole pandemic that because the science was wrong the first time that it's wrong all the time, right? Mm-hmm. If there were certain information that came out early on as we were still learning about this disease, that meant, well, if they got it wrong initially, then they don't know what they're talking about, they being the collective medical community and whatnot.
Right.
And it, you know, science just doesn't work that way. I mean, it is a, when it's done well, it is an evaluation over and over and over again till we're achieving excellence. And then we're still evaluating it after that to make sure that it's still the right thing to do. That's how we have such good healthcare in our country.
Wouldn't that be amazing if we did that in all areas of our life? That would just be bananas.
Amen,
that'd be bananas to have an open mind and have your mind changed.
So,
wow.
So I'm in the doctor's office with Dr. Seidel again. I'm thinking, okay, I asked them, should they go to school? She tells us we should make our own decision. Actually makes a lot of sense. I go with that. The very next question I ask you is, when are we going to get a vaccine and when are we going to get a treatment? How many people are asking you that now? On the, I mean, you're a scientist. How much of the science is coming into your office right now? And people just, sometimes it's just out of like desperation and hope.
So this is the craziest thing, right? I'm crazy opinionated in my office. I mean, I'm very good at telling parents, like, if you want my opinion, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you whether or not it's my opinion or it's science. And then you can take what you like and leave the rest. That's kind of how I operate. And parents are so uncomfortable. And I am so uncomfortable as we have these kinds of conversations in the office around what is the answer to some of the things surrounding COVID, right? So,
right.
My answer around the vaccine is that I wouldn't expect one anytime soon,
yeah.
Right? And given our, you know, I don't know how to answer that, Pen.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That question.
That's actually a good answer at this point. Like, I think I don't know how to answer that, Pen, is an informed answer.
Yeah, I don't know how quickly it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I also am very optimistic that it will. And I also know that our vaccine climate will come with a whole new set of rules. Like, remember how I said last time, people want choices.
Yeah.
until you tell them they don't have a choice, right? And then they don't want to do that. That's
yeah.
Just human nature, right? So everybody's really worried about a vaccine. Until we get it, then everyone's probably going to be really worried about the vaccine. So,
right.
You know,
yeah, I predict. That's gonna, yeah.
That's a whole different podcast.
Now, is there, you know, we do have a rising eighth grader and a rising fifth grader, and they've missed out / are just, they're learning about canceled sports seasons coming up. They're learning about like all those things. And it's, I mean, dude, it sucks. It sucks. Mm-hmm. So talk to me, how are you walking your own kids through this?
In my home, I have a very high tolerance for my children being in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I think pain is part of life, and so is fear, and so is sadness. And I think having empathy for where our kids are right now is one of the most healing things that we can do for our children. And so sometimes we use humor, and sometimes, which it should be easy for your family, sometimes we talk about gratitude. Sometimes it's really hard to be positive, and so we're just not.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I cry, sometimes they cry, sometimes we're angry, and then we're accountable for it. I don't have a need for my children to be okay with all of this. It's not okay. A lot of it's not okay. And so I think that gives them some space to have a tough day and to be, you know, uncomfortable.
Mm.
Does that answer your question?
It 100% does. And I find myself personally, I do the, listen, it sucks and I'm so sorry. And it sucks. And you're right to feel this way. Everything you're feeling is there's no wrong answer. But then mm-hmm. I immediately flip into, let's make it better. And there's just no making it better, you know? And so I think that I'm not that also, I mean, for example, today, so Lola is really big into tennis and she's been, they're not playing tennis tournaments, obviously, but they did say that tennis was a good socially distant sport. I mean, you're very far away and blah, blah, blah. So there was like this one last tournament that was like on the schedule in our area that they hadn't canceled yet. So we had signed her up. And then, of course, we got word today that it was canceled. So she was very upset. And so the instinct was like, well, let's find another one. No, yeah. They're probably canceling it for a very good reason. Let's just take a beat. Let's be sad and not like rush into like fixing every single thing.
For the record, I did rush into it. I fixed everything and I signed her up for like 3 more tournaments. That'll probably all get canceled. They're all going to get canceled. This is me and this is my daughter being sad.
I know.
So I let her be. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. This sucks so bad. I'm just going to sneak out in the other room. I'm going to try to fix everything.
Well, listen, I think that's wrong. I mean, I think it's okay to either create gratitude or to create a positive spin on things to help your kids see a different way to look at it. Like, I think that's a very powerful way to parent. The only time that that's not useful is when you are using positivity to erase how your child is feeling. Yeah. Oh, don't worry about that, honey. It's going to be fine. You know, it doesn't give them any room to feel. It's like when you're exhausted from homeschooling and, you know, Penn comes downstairs from doing that life-changing Hamilton parody. Awesome. And, you know, and you're, I can't even talk about it. It was so good. So good. And then he comes down and you're just exhausted or doing something that's really frustrating for you. And he's like, it's fine. Just buck up. Yeah. You know, it just says, I'm so sorry. I need a minute to be in all of my pain right now. Yeah. Right? I need that time. I don't want to sit in it forever, but I need that. And your kids need that too. And listen, I mean, how are our kids going to handle all the other garbage life sends us moving on if we don't let them figure out that they can move through it? We just say, don't feel that. Let's not do that. It's okay. We're going to be fine. Let's do another activity. You know, it doesn't let them sit in anything that serves them as adults.
You're going to love the chapter in our book coming up, Dr. Seidel, called Why Can't You Just Be Happy for 1 Minute?
I am.
I'm not making it up. It's how I learned all of these things that you're saying right now.
I was like, you can't fix it. He's like, no, but I can do this.
It's
like,
quite the motif in our family. And I finally figured it out. But it's funny that you mentioned that because it took me until this year. And we mentioned this last week in the podcast. It took me until this year to realize I've got to do the same thing with my kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
such a loving way to parent. It really is a very loving way to parent.
I'm taking that. So here's my theory, and you don't even have to answer one with yours, because I know you have patients that might listen to this.
I might have a reaction to this as well. I don't know you have a theory.
I think that we, as a family, our decision, because it's the best decision for our family, we've talked over all the options as they stand right now in July of 2020, and what our school has said they're going to do, and how it's going to be, you know, like phased, and they're not going to be in school full time. There's going to be like a balance, but we are going to try to send our kids. But I don't know that best safe decision of the mask and the thing and the whatever is going to be good for them.
But like, stand by that decision and also know, sorry, I know this is what she's supposed to say. Also know that it, like, your decision might change.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I'm saying, okay, I think that's going to last for about 2 full weeks. And then I think that the schools are going to be shut down again. I don't picture, I am Susie optimist. I think we're going to be homeschooling again.
Your decision is that you're
going to try.
You're going to do whatever the school offers. You're going to try it.
Because that's what if my kids had 1 ounce of hesitation, because my instinct would be to keep them home.
No, I'm with you.
But they want to go. But I believe we are going to be virtual learning through 2021. And I have to laugh when I say that out loud, because I start crying.
Well, for sure. And, you know, the funniest part about that, okay, it's not really that funny, but the most interesting part about what may come true in your movie is that so many parents have spent all of the last several weeks in fear and worry. What I said the other day, marinating and just kind of all of this negative, wasting so much time that they can't get back on a decision that probably will be made for them in a couple of weeks. And so it's just, that's kind of the point when I say just make a decision and move on. It's not, I'm not trivializing how important it is to want to be certain. I'm just want everyone to notice that certainty is not always possible, but, you know, there's not always a value in inaction while you're just kind of going on and on and on and on, right? You're not moving forward. You're just sitting somewhere.
We are going to get this podcast out as quickly as possible.
because literally something it is. I think this year there's so many things I've learned this year, but I am one who likes a plan. I like a list. I like to check things off the list. I have a vision board.
Yeah, you're in the wrong time and place.
I'm on the wrong planet for that right now, but it has taught me to like really roll with it. In a way that I think 2019 Kim would not have. Yeah. So
I think that's so awesome. And I really think if most people pay attention to what they can be learning instead of what they lost, that there are would be so many people who felt that way. I mean, this has been the most transformative year for my business, both of my businesses. It has been just, you can't change the circumstance that we're in right now. It mm-hmm. is what it is. And so fighting against that, you're going to lose 100% of the time. Like fighting against reality, you always lose. And so the only option is to consider where you want to be in the circumstance. And so where I want to be in this circumstance, I mean, I don't need to be baking bread, but I do want to like be in this. Not that I'm jealous that no one gave me a starter, because that would have been nice. But I don't need to be baking bread, but it's okay. Like, I just want to show up and pay attention on what we're supposed to be learning. And our kids are watching how we show up. Your kids are watching you and how you're making use of this time and what your lessons are. I cannot say that strongly enough. It's so important.
But they're little sponges, aren't they? I mean,
they are.
Like the cuss words. I mean, our kids are going to go back to school when they go back, because they're going to go back eventually. They may not be able to like count or do multiplication, but they're going to have like a well-timed cuss word. And I'm going to say, you know what, honey, I taught you well.
That's right.
They really have been exposed to a lot more profanity.
Well, and we don't
in
even.
The last couple of
months. Just sometimes, you know what I mean? I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. So I, anyway. Dr. Hope Seidel, where can people find you? Where should they're going to hear your voice? They're going to love your wisdom. How can they follow you and find you?
Well, I'm a pediatrician at Cary Pediatrics, and we have an office in Apex at Apex Peds, and also Fuquay Pediatrics. And you know, I'm kind of a wide open book. I'm pretty easy to find on the internet. What you see is what you get, kind of with me. And I also I work full time at both of those in my pediatric practice. And I also have a life and parent coaching business that I do some of the work around mindset with my patients. You know, I love doing medical care. I love diagnosis and medicine and all the conversations around that. But really, healing is about more than just kind of illness. And a lot of times it's about getting where parents are in their mind and helping them find some power over that and helping them heal their kids. And I really love that work too. And so I have a parenting coaching business, parentingcoaches.com, where I have a website and an Instagram page, and that business is evolving as well. But mostly I'm sitting in my office taking care of babies, enjoying my life. I love being a doctor. It's good work.
Well, thank you for sharing your wisdom. We'll make sure to put all of your links and all that information in the show notes so people can find you. Just count on us. And you have a podcast too, by the way. You have to promote that, right?
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, my office has a podcast. Yes. We have a podcast that's on iTunes. You can get to it it's through our office, Cary Pediatric Center. Yes. On parenting in the pandemic. And it's just to provide some value, a little bit of humor and some guidance for parents as they're kind of struggling through all of these issues that we've discussed tonight. Okay. You know,
want to make sure I'm not missing anything. Okay. Well, I cannot wait to see your actual face one day again.
I will count on that.
Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. You guys are doing great work. I appreciate it.
And we're hit the stop button there. We were recording, right, Penn? Okay, good.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com.
Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.